Check, check, check. What is up, y'all? It's episode 10 of Corporate Lunch. Noah, we hit double digits, my brother.
We're here. It's crazy. I knew it would happen, but I'm still surprised.
Noah, let me just set the scene for you. We're in the podcast studio.
Yeah,
Sam Hine Productions is producing the production.
Behind the boards.
Noah Johnson is wearing a fuzzy leopard? Tiger.
That's
leopard.
Cheetah.
No, that's a cheetah. A fuzzy cheetah zip-up shirt. Jacket.
Yeah, one of the very friendly doorman security guards at One World Trade Content Tower downstairs said to me, "Yo, man, is that leopard or tiger?"
And you're like,
and I was like, "Dog, tigers have stripes." And then he was like, "Yeah, I know." And I had to tell him it wasn't real.
Yeah.
And he said I look like a pimp.
No tigers died for Noah's fit today, but maybe a cheetah did? Question mark.
Possible.
This is Corporate Lunch, and we're here to talk about style icons today.
Yeah. We got a reason, though, for doing that.
What's that? You're saying we got a peg?
Yeah. There's a new
Remind me what
call,
it is.
In the business, you call this a news peg, which is that the holiday issue of GQ Style Magazine is on newsstands now as of last week, starring none other than ASAP Rocky on the cover, who we discussed at some length last week. But there's also a tasty feature inside in the features well, as we call it, more industry speak for y'all, about none other than Andre 3000.
I took a deep sip of effort juice before we walked into the podcast studio today, and I'm just going to say it like this. If you love Corporate Lunch, thank you. We love you back. But please buy our magazine, man.
Yeah.
It's the foundation of all things Corporate Lunch, and we promise that if you like this podcast, you will not be disappointed with our hard goods.
Plus, nobody's making a penny off this podcast, let's be real.
Zero. We're spending zero pennies, and we're not making any pennies.
This isn't keeping the lights on.
Yeah. So help us keep the lights on. Come on. But it's not a favor, though. I promise. It's not a favor.
But seriously, this Andre 3000 story, it's a fashion editorial and a
Q&A.
An amazing Q&A by none other than Will Welch. It's really something. There's a lot of thoughts and a lot of feelings.
It's deeply felt.
You got to read it. I don't know that now. I don't think we're going to get into the nitty gritty of the story at this moment.
Andre 3000, however, we got it.
But what I mean to say is, you should read the interview. You should read this Q&A. There's a lot there, a lot to unpack, including like Andre 3000 pitching Anita Baker a line of t-shirts
merch.
But just one thing that I really got thinking about in considering the photos shot by Jason Nacido, styled by Mobilaji Dawodu, our fashion editor, shot here in New York where 3000 now lives.
Yep. Soho's finest.
I've seen people saying that these are some of the best fashion photos of the year.
Damn, I haven't seen that tweet. Screenshot that for me.
I'll share that. And it makes you think about the style legacy of 3000.
Yeah. It's interesting. I put it in the piece, but he's not really in a fashion place right now.
Yeah.
Which he was the first to admit is not usual for him. He's just like grown up a little bit and isn't trying to be, wearing football shoulder pads.
Right.
And giant fuzzy pants and wigs and all that stuff.
But isn't it amazing? Isn't it something that someone who's most iconic looks are borderline, well, are pretty much just straight up like costume.
Yeah.
But is still regarded and considered like an actual style icon.
It's all about the way he carried it off.
Yeah.
It was not like a dude playing dress. He did not look like a village person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It was taken, I mean, not that it was taken seriously in the sense that it was like, this is someone with a vision who's expressing it in a way that is completely compelling, has, you know, the most energy of anyone out there doing it.
Coloring so far out the lines, there's actually no coloring inside the lines.
Yeah.
Yet it was all taken like not as a joke or a goof or as like, look at me. There was something centered about it somehow.
So he says he's not in a fashion place right now, but like, what does that mean for Andre 3000? That means still probably like seriously elevated style.
Yeah. And one thing that this is pretty specific, but the man has broad shoulders and a tiny waist, and clothes just look good on him.
He's blessed.
Yeah. So even when you know, there's certain people, and we talked about this a little bit last week with ASAP Rocky, there's certain people who just clothes look better on, like, you know, me and you could put on the exact same clothes and it's just not going to look the same. Although maybe with this, this dead cheetah that you're wearing today.
You think 3000 would appreciate this? You think he might?
He might chop that thing up and turn it into a hat.
Yeah.
But yeah. Otherwise, I think he's probably on board.
Yeah.
Give me some of your style icons, Noah. Give me one historical style icon of yours that maybe I wouldn't expect.
One that you wouldn't expect?
Yeah. Not the one you were gonna start with.
So damn. Caught me so off guard. It was like ball. at the tip of my tongue, as they say. All right. Two of my favorites are women. They kind of go together for me, and that's Sinead O'Connor and Winona Ryder.
Damn. Sinead is incredible.
Yeah.
I love both of those women. Tell me why they connect in your mind.
Well, to me, they're like these, you know, independent free spirits who both have been, who've had their share of controversy and both kind of like came out of the 90s, the sort of rowdy 90s era. So there's just like a little bit of overlap, I feel like, in the way they're perceived and the way they're kind of like, they're beautiful, they're artists, they're kind of like among the best at what they do. And then there's like darkness and sadness that surrounds them. That being said, they're also like, they just look awesome in every single photo you'll ever see.
All of them.
Often in menswear-y types of things, which is maybe why I'll talk about them now and why they're like
among the
top of the top. Sinead O'Connor often in just like a leather jacket with the shaved head.
Yeah.
Looking amazing. Kind of
like James Dean, but not.
Yep. And then Winona, I'm thinking of like her in the 90s in like a double-breasted blazer sort of thing with strong shoulders and stuff. And she just looked.
Shoulder pads.
So freaking cool and all that.
You know, one thing that was amazing about Sinead O'Connor, you know, Prince wrote Nothing Compares to You.
Of course, yeah.
Have you ever heard the Prince version of Nothing Compares to You?
You know, I don't know if I've heard it, but my understanding is it's...
Does not compare to the Sinead O'Connor version of Nothing Compares to You.
Yeah.
Sinead O'Connor was also... actually, so was Winona. I mean, you know, Winona, who was a shoplifter extraordinaire, among other pursuits, but both just like total rebels.
Yep.
You know, like... I think more often Madonna is remembered for her like challenging of the Catholic Church and you know, various interactions with crosses and so on.
Yeah.
But Sinead also just like was taking on the church at a time where that was still really outrageous.
Yeah. I think that had an impact on me. I feel like I remember that from like Kurt Loder on MTV News, like dropping into like update on the, on those moments and like probably being a little too young to like, let it sink in or to fuel my own rebelliousness, which didn't have anything to do with the Catholic Church, but I do think that sunk in a little bit.
And at the time, beautiful woman with bald head, with shaved head, was a real statement. Now every style, you know, Rihanna has done them all just herself.
Right.
But at the time, that was like shocking.
You
kind of like didn't know what to do with that information.
Yeah. And one more quick thing about Winona.
Which is powerful.
Winona was arrested for shoplifting or whatever. I don't remember the details. And I think her day in court was around 2003. And then shortly after, she got a big contract with Marc Jacobs and did an amazing campaign shot by Jürgen Teller for Marc Jacobs, where she's looking sort of distraught among shopping bags that seems like she maybe a bunch of shit she stole.
Fashion can be subversive, man. It still happens.
Yeah. So those are two all through. Where are you? What did you go? Who's your most surprising? Yours are all surprising. This is like not fair because you're full of.
Well, you know, I guess
the not so obvious.
Well, I think the for whatever reason the community that I grew up in and the reaction I had to it was just different from like most people who are into like fashion pursuits at this time. So a big one for me, I've talked about Garth, but Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah.
Dwight Yoakam was a huge one for me. I mean, it started with the sound of his voice, which my dad played for me in the car. And I remember the first time I ever heard Dwight Yoakam's voice, and I was like, what is that? It was the song Guitars Cadillacs, which I think was 1986, so I was 5.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's famous for, like, Canadian tuxedos and cowboy hats that are blocked in really specific ways that, to him, it's like... you know, we talk sometimes about this idea of different fashion moves as being cultural signifiers.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing that Dwight does accidentally. So
wait, what does it mean to have your cowboy hat blocked? What is that lingo?
Okay, so a cowboy hat is like a piece of lined felt, mm-hmm. right? Yep. And it's pretty much shapeless. But then it's blocked using steam to give it the shape.
I see.
And there's different types of crowns and bills mm-hmm. based on how it's bent. And all of those are rooted in different uses, like who was using the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
So like a bull rider's hat, because of the way they took their hat on and off and the things that they used them for, would be different than a roper's hat yeah. or a rancher's hat. And the same for the tip of the cowboy boots.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see a pointy cowboy boot, that's somebody who, whatever they were like practically doing with their cowboy boots, needed to be able to get in and out of the spurs quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
So you like, you know, using a little physics, you could get in and out of the I said the spurs, man. I just totally wrecked my cred. The stirrups.
Stirrups.
The damn stirrups, man.
Getting in and out of the stirrups.
So I grew up going to gun shows and rodeos with my dad and listening to country music and being surrounded by men wearing Wranglers and cowboy boots and cowboy hats. And so that was impactful for me. And Dwight, to this day, is just a G when it comes to style. Did you ever see the he had one album cover that was more recently, it was in the 2000s, and it was just him you know, like cowboyed out and just surrounded by Louis Vuitton luggage.
I've never seen
like
this.
Trunks and man, yeah.
So he wasn't really shy good. About indulging a little bit in lifestyle's finer things.
I mean, the first album and the first hit song is called Guitars Cadillacs.
Yeah.
Emphasis on the lax.
What was he was on an award show last
Come
year.
Come to think of it, I'm yet to own a Cadillac. I will undoubtedly change that at some point in my life. But
should we go car shopping this weekend?
Absolutely. But you know, Noah likes BMWs, compact, swift.
Yeah.
You know, great turning radius. I'm into Cadillac. You know, Dwight Yoakam and Outkast equals Cadillacs.
You would get a
drive
car
them slow.
You would get a car that I could park my car inside of.
Inside the
I
car,
I could put
yeah.
it in the trunk
yeah.
of your car.
Alternately, I could take the driver's seat out of your car and drive it from the back seat.
Absolutely.
Always a move I wanted to make. One other guy who's been just an absolute through line to me.
Yeah.
And I think has a similar rebelliousness, even though he's also fashion establishment. Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph Lauren.
Ralph's got looks, man.
Dude, to this day, he is throwing like black suit, super sharp black purple label suit, white shirt, black tie, and then just like some RLX hiking shoes.
Yeah.
Unabashed.
Yeah, he knows how to mix it up.
You know? And I put on one of the sort of foundational reference photos for GQ Style, which I put on the editor's letter of issue number one.
That's right.
Was Ralph in a what would we call that? A sarong.
Yeah.
Ralph Lauren in a navy sarong with a really beat up denim shirt.
Yeah.
Unbuttoned to the navel and some beads, standing at the one of the greatest places to stand, which is where the jungle meets the ocean. Kind of impossible. I have no idea. Doesn't matter.
One of the things
it's not for you, Noah. It's not for me and you to know where Ralph was standing. All I know is that the jungle was meeting the ocean.
Ralph's a friend of the pod. He can drop us a line anytime and just let us know where he's at so we can go have a similar spiritual experience there. One of the things that strikes me about that image is like, here's the icon of American fashion in this sort of exotic location yeah. and pose and decked out in a way. And it's pretty striking. It's not like the thing everyone's gonna do summer 18 necessarily, but it's like you're just like, this man's got balls and he's got a vision.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond the brand and empire he built. It's like also his very personal thing.
Yeah, and the two are the same. And in fact, if like again, like resisting the idea that Ralph equals establishment is in a lot of ways what he built his empire on, was exoticizing America. So there's the ranch side of things, and then there's the Hampton side of things, and then there's the prep side of things.
Yeah.
You know? So in a way, he like took these American tropes, put them on steroids,
yeah,
and then delivered them back to us.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Where are we at now? Like today?
In terms of style icons?
Yeah.
I just think it's not a surprising bunch, but it's people who just do not compromise and DNGAF.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like through and through. And then what I realized, actually kind of like working on this list, is that it really, the reason I'm attracted to those people, it's like fashion is just one expression of an actual life that is lived.
Yeah.
With like, without any care for what people think or what people would expect.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there's a million examples. I sort of like did my country music backwards. So the Johnny Cash and the whole outlaw vibe,
uh-huh,
which I was very into in the early 2000s,
yeah,
came after, you know, like Dwight Yoakam and Vince Gill and Marty Stewart and, uh-huh, some of the like 90s dudes. But then I also think of, again, these are like well trod territories. Miles Davis, Basquiat,
yeah,
David Hockney.
Artists are so good.
Yeah.
I jotted down Willem de Kooning and Picasso.
Yeah.
And like,
I'm a little disappointed that the art world now isn't as stylish as it once was.
True, yeah.
There was like some hype around Jeffrey Deitch in his sharp suits.
Uh-huh.
Like in the
glasses.
In the aughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his notable,
yeah,
glasses, his quirky glasses. But I feel like the art world is not the locus of style icons like it once was.
There was that like rowdy Lower East Side bunch around that time too. I guess this is maybe what you're talking about, but like the Dash Snow crew and Dan Cullen.
That
crew that Ryan
that
McGinley,
had it more, yeah.
The crew Ryan McGinley was shooting.
I mean, McGinley's an incredibly stylish dude.
Yeah.
Dash had it for sure.
Yeah. But it wasn't the same. Like if you look at these photos of, to me, de Kooning and Picasso are two examples, like these guys when they're in their studios, it's not that they're like, I don't think they were very fashion conscious at all necessarily, but like, man, they look so fucking cool.
Yeah. And you wonder too, like, what was it? All right. So if you go back and look at photos of Picasso, like he had all kinds of amazing looks. There's like, yeah, the signature Breton striped shirt and so on, but so much good style. But like there certainly wasn't a fashion culture like there is now. Then,
yeah,
it was there obviously was one, it was just very different,
yeah.
And so, like, I don't know where was Picasso getting his garms?
I think he probably shopped, you know. I mean,
he was traveling,
he was rich and famous and traveling the world as he was alive, and he had, you know, young kids and younger people around him. And I have no idea, but I would, you know, I know Donald Judd was like sort of a clothes horse and he was a shopper,
yeah,
and he would go around the world collecting
things. He was
just
a taste god and a half,
yeah. I mean, crazy. Basquiat was really into clothes.
Definitely.
And
kind of wrecked, destroyed clothes.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, these are guys who aesthetics are part of their lives and
it's kind of inevitable in a way.
Yeah. And in the decades since, I just think there's just too much like pressure and bad mojo around capitalism and material goods and stuff for artists.
Yeah.
To fully embrace it gets a little tricky. That being said, tons of them collaborate with, you know, Jeff Koons and Vuitton are out there
right now
making bags, doing their thing. And,
yeah, even though the art world is actually capitalism at its like sort of finest and
absolutely
most manipulated.
Absolutely.
Who else you got on your list, Noah?
My list, one thing that's funny that I just noticed, my list is all in pairs. So my pairs were Wynonna and Sinead, Kurt and River, being River Phoenix and Kurt Cobain, who not friends as far as I know, but to me.
But friends of the pod for sure.
Gons and Dill, that's Mark Gonzalez and Jason Dill.
Yep.
Skateboard icons who both fully embraced, like, sometimes extremely quirky styles. Both guys associated with Supreme, but they're mature, grown-ass men now who I look to as a sort of mature, grown-ass man.
It's well-documented on the pod that I've never been on a rolling skateboard. However, I did sort of come of age in New York City sitting down the bar from Jason Dill at Max Fish.
I mean, the dude's just got a thing. He's got that thing that some dudes have.
Yeah, and I was like, I sort of didn't know what to think of. First of all, I was in Max Fish wearing a navy blazer and rep ties. First things first. So that was weird. But then Dill also just had, and I don't call him by his last name as though I really know him because, yeah, I do not. We were just in the same bar at the same time.
Friend of the pod.
All the time. Yeah, man, he just had this like tough, like, don't mess with me and maybe don't talk to me vibe.
Yeah.
That I thought, I was like, that's pretty cool. It was only later that I would like through the internet that I like contextualized him as like supreme and fucking awesome and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. He ended up being really, really central to the culture. But, you know, even before that, and probably when you noticed him, he's just an amazing skater and a huge personality that really drove things. Gonz is just a legend.
Who do you think we will look back to as style icons of this era? Once you like, both the combination of 2020 hindsight and the sort of zoom out effect. So it's no longer about the daily churn of like, of Instagram and all that stuff. Like who do you think has enduring style from our era?
That's a really tough question. There's a weird thing that's happening now that like, I don't want to be like negative about it or kind of like dismissive, but celebrities now are like really styled by stylists.
Yep.
And that often means like, they pay someone to tell them what brands to wear.
Right.
And then they, you know, get it tailored so it fits them well.
Yeah.
Which isn't always like the worst thing. Sometimes like, I think Jared Leto's like ongoing Gucci relationship is really cool.
Yeah.
And I think it's rad that he'll just be like, I'll wear your most outrageous shit.
Yeah.
On like, any red carpet.
Anything you can imagine, I will easily wear.
So that's like a kind of more like a brand partnership thing than like, but that I actually think is sort of enduring. Like it'll be memorable.
Yeah.
Also because it represents this era for Gucci that's going to be historically important.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things is just to like go deep into the archives of Getty. So I do a Getty image search for like Christian Slater, guy who was big. And then I reverse chronologically search the order of it. So it shows me the oldest photos first.
Nice.
And then I start going back. And there were times when you would see like a lot of dudes like Christian Slater, for instance, you know, like gleaming the cube era Christian Slater, he was mega famous and he was just wearing the clothes he had.
Right.
Like, and he looked super cool.
Sign of a different time. Yeah.
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 And you could say that about River Phoenix too. You know, I don't think he was paying anyone to tell him what to wear.
Definitely not.
That didn't even exist at the time. There's a million reasons why, you know, they didn't have Instagram, for instance.
But here's the thing is that people getting dressed by stylists, having relationships with the fashion brands and all that, that is itself like defining of this era.
Yeah.
And so certain people will become icons for this era of that. And that's why I think Jared Leto is very relevant. I will point out that he was on cover number 2 of GQ Style.
Of course.
That's why I think that A$AP Rocky is relevant.
Absolutely.
Because A$AP Rocky, he's like, yeah, my stylist is Matt Henson. He like is part of AUG and has credits and he's not shy about it. But at no point are you like, oh, he's just some like lame dude who has no clue who just like wears whatever somebody puts in front of him.
Right.
So in a way he's like, yeah, that's the culture and I participate in it and I've got relationships with brands. But I also transcend all that just because I have confidence and taste.
Yeah.
I really like that moment from the Rocky Q&A in the issue, where I was like, what do you say to the, a lot of people have been saying that you're more fashion than music now. What do you say to that? And he's like, I can understand.
I love
people
that part.
Think that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what? Oh, really? It's like so much poise and confidence. He's like, no.
Yeah.
He's like, based on the decisions I've made for the last 2 years, I understand why people think that. And now they're about to think of me for music again because I got a bunch of dope music coming.
I love that response. I totally expected him to like, I don't know, weirdly get defensive maybe.
I
and
did
then
too.
Sort of prove that you were right by
being defensive and bristling.
Yeah, thou doth protest too much. But he, that part.
The homie
did not
blink. Yeah. Let me be clear.
Yeah. I think Obama has good potential to be like a JFK icon.
It was always like, can we take the, can we let Obama loose on some garms, man? Yeah.
We still could.
Because he showed some glimmers.
Yeah.
But you knew that he was too much of a politician
to
risk it.
JFK is the, you know, like, I don't know why I'm making this comparison right now.
Wow,
I guess
Obama. I'm still reeling at your call. It's such a good call.
Yeah, I think that.
I hope he lets loose.
We can look back. I also think
even just the way he like plays basketball or something.
Absolutely.
Sometime when you see him out of like politician mode.
Oh yeah.
Or when he's like talking to people that he legitimately likes and he feels like he doesn't have to be so presidential. There is some swagger there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I'm thinking a lot about the dudes that I'm personally really into. I love to see the latest fits from Shia, from Jonah.
Yeah.
From Kanye.
Yeah.
Kanye's
one who you got to put in the mix for like 20 years from now looking back. Shy and Jonah, like, we shall see.
Yeah. We're sort of enjoying it for the moment that it is. But, you know, Kanye currently is like in a like super muted, low key kind of mode. But I think going back to the Givenchy stuff and the Margiela masks and plenty of that stuff is for sure going to be in the history books, as they say.
Yeah. You know, it keeps coming to mind. This is a little random, but just Aaliyah wearing Hilfiger.
Yeah.
I mean, those images are just incredible. And that was a moment of like just a very different moment of hip hop and fashion.
Yeah.
Shout out to Aaliyah. Rest in peace, baby girl. Should we get into some vibes?
Let's do the vibe section.
How many vibes should we do this time?
Well, 13, I think.
You think you should do 13? All right. That sounds like a good number to me.
13 vibes. But don't count them, you know? Never count bullets. Don't try to poke holes in our plot.
I'm going to take the first vibe, and I'm coming in.
I can't wait.
I'm coming in hot.
People should know that we don't share these vibes beforehand.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Why would we do that?
This is episode 10, and we've never shared a vibe beforehand.
iPhone X.
Oh, shit.
It just got dropped off on my desk. I'm going to have to visit the wireless devices people after this and get plugged in. And I just thought, like, for some reason, I thought it was funny to, like, to try to shit on you with, like, a tech brag.
That I can't hang with.
You definitely can't hang with it. I also, it's just, like, tech is not something that I think is, like.
We haven't done tech yet.
I know, it's not really my, like.
Send us your tech questions.
It's not my normal mode of send us your tech questions. You will be met with befuddlement, but enthusiasm. Yeah, man, the new iPhone, it's going to take sweet photos.
Send me some pics, bro.
Do you feel lesser than me right now?
A little bit.
Or yeah. Will you when I get my iPhone X plugged in?
Yeah, this is that. I'm glad we've addressed the tech thing. I hope we don't do it again necessarily. So I'm just going to bring it back to something near and dear to my heart, which is vintage flannels.
Vintage flannels.
Yeah.
New to you, old to the world.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I went down a particular rabbit hole, which is a label called Towncraft, which was a JCPenney label from the 50s and 60s.
Wow.
Towncraft is popular among like rockabilly dress-up people, I think. Like people who really do it.
If anybody ever comes subculture. Up to me in the street and accuses you, my partner in this podcast,
yeah.
of not letting some gems loose on the podcast, I'm gonna fight.
I mean, this is.
I'm gonna hand my glasses to Sam and just start scrapping.
If people, you know, if there's still some question out there about what is corporate lunch about,
yeah.
Just let it be known that it is three guys in a room just. Giving you everything we've
just
got.
Just handing it over.
Towncraft flannels are old. The label existed for some time, but what you want is the 50s and 60s, and there were batches that were made in Japan. And
uh-huh.
The made in Japan ones are often a nice wool and rayon blend. You might find some other things out there, often like a nice shadow plaid.
Okay.
And the most important thing is that they're cut like a camp shirt. So it's a flat hem, a camp collar, and it's called a loop shirt, meaning the very top button loop. Buttonhole is a loop and not a hole. So you want a loop shirt with a camp collar and a flat hem and a shadow plaid made in Japan, Towncraft, flannel.
I mean, other
There's
than,
loads of these on eBay.
They're I was like, about to say, other than actually winning the eBay bid for you and having it delivered to your address, Noah has really broken it down.
I just blessed you. I mean, you can get one for $20 and like this is quality stuff. Wow.
So this one's rare. Jason Nocito, who shot the Andre 3000 piece,
yeah.
has made a zine.
Oh, what the fuck?
An Andre 3000 GQ style zine, 30 copies. If you can get one.
I don't have one.
You don't have one yet?
No.
Well, we'll see what
There's
happens.
Only 30?
There's 30 copies.
Jason Nocito, never mind the fact that he shot that amazing feature for GQ style. His work is amazing.
Yeah, and he spent all of last year not doing editorial work. He was making books.
Yes.
And they're out there.
If you're into the indie book publishing world, then like, you should...
Check it out.
You should get involved.
And if you find an Andre 3000 zine by Jason Nocito, try to sell it to Noah for top value.
Yeah, what the... Frick.
What do you got? What do you got?
I'm going to go with another photographer. This wasn't going to be next, but... My favorite, this is one of my favorite photographers is Jürgen Teller. I love Jürgen Teller.
You do? All right, cool. What do you love about Jürgen?
I love the way his photos look. But the thing I also just mentioned him. There's going to be a lot of callback here, but he shot the Winona Marc Jacobs campaign. He shoots a bunch of self portraits, and he's just this beautiful man with this round head and these blue eyes that I love looking at. He shoots portraits with himself and sometimes alone of his son Ed.
Yeah, Ed.
Baby Ed.
Shout out to baby Ed.
And he's a chubby baby with beautiful blue eyes, and they're of particular interest to me for personal reasons lately. But Jürgen Teller's photos of his baby son Ed are incredibly beautiful and moving, and I recently looked at some of them and enjoyed it very much.
Maybe you can get a print. If you can't get a zine, maybe you can get a Jürgen print.
Damn. Shout out to Jürgen, friend of the pod. Send me a print, maybe.
Last time I saw Jürgen Teller was at the Gosha Rubchinsky fashion show at Pitti Uomo.
Yeah.
And he was wearing really aggressively short pink jogging shorts. It was so awesome.
He's a style icon. There's that. He shot that book, Kanye, Kim, and Jürgen.
Yeah.
Kim, Kanye, and Jürgen, or I don't know what it is. He's in a bunch of the photos that are with Kim and Kanye, like messing around in like trash heaps. And he's wearing like, I think he's in the short shorts with like a ski parka in a lot of it. He's a style icon. That's the other thing about Jürgen.
It's super dope if you can do a book with Kim and Kanye and not only put yourself in the photos, but also just go ahead and put your first name in with it.
That's a great book.
This one contains a special nod to Samhain Productions, Velvet Pants.
Oh, hell yeah.
Sam and I are both loyalists to Massimo Alba's Velvet Pants.
Yeah.
I broke them out for the first time this fall yesterday in a kind of purplish eggplant color and had to go back to back with the black ones today. I'm feeling the Velvet Pants so much, it's sort of like blossoming into a potential future, wait for it, leather pants vibe. That's right. You heard it here on Corporate Lunch Episode 10. Velvet Pants... Velvet Pants one day.
Let's go.
Velvet Pants again the next day, and then follow through with the leather pants on day three.
Sam and Will have a really contentious style rivalry. I'm not really a part of it, but I watch it unfold, and it's kind of amazing.
Basically, the only thing I don't love about being editor-in-chief of GQ Style is that my entire staff has better style than me, and it fucks with me on a daily basis. And it all starts with Sam Hein, who also happens to have the same Massimo Alba velvet pants.
Yeah, you guys share a few garms. Sam shows up like, every day.
I'm not supposed to show up and be better dressed than Mobolaji Dawadu, GQ Style fashion director. Yeah, that's a given.
That's a given.
But when Sam just like absolutely crushes me with pants that I also already own, it stinks.
Sam shows up every day, and it is a stunt.
It's a movie.
On a previous episode of
Corporate he's not Lunch, blushing right now. Like he's shrugging at us. Yeah, he's just looking at us. Like, can you guys pick up the pace a little here?
His feet are up on the desk.
He's like, we got a lot of vibes to get through. Why don't you keep it moving?
Shout out to Sam Hein. In a previous episode of Corporate Lunch, I went on a bit of a tirade about laundry detergent. Might have hurt some feelings. I don't know. I don't care.
Do you know that I had in the tuck, I had the Audrey 3000 loving laundry detergent and dryer sheets? And all respect to you, Noah Johnson, but I think Andre is more influential than you. So if I were actually doing a heat map of laundry detergent and dryer sheets right now, their stock is up, my brother. I'm sorry to break it to you.
You're right. And I was deeply upset by that.
I let you get that one off without telling you about the ace I was holding.
But I'm going to shout out the Tide to Go stick.
Whoa, reversal. Okay.
I got one on my desk. The crazy thing about it is...
Stain stick?
Yeah. It's a little pen that takes stains out. This is like old news. Everyone's got one of these things. But the crazy thing about it is it actually works.
Yeah, it's
real.
None
of this shit ever works. The stain stick, I mean, it can't be like, I don't know, like oil paint or some shit.
Yeah.
But like coffee... blood.
A little red wine.
Mud, red wine. You're good. The stain stick is like a real thing that works.
It's incredible, too, that it's all herbal and organic.
Well, the funny thing is it doesn't smell like shitty laundry detergent, but it kind of smells like barf.
Yeah.
I never understood that.
I like when Noah says really corporate shit like Tide stick. I'm going with matching hangers is my vibe.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Like, if you have a mixed bag of hangers in your closet, You are setting yourself up for a life of heartbreak and anxiety, yeah. extreme anxiety.
Also, what kind of mess is your life if that's what you're looking at in your
yeah,
closet?
Yeah, what's going on under the hood? What's going on under the hood if that's what's going on under the closet, the mental hood? So this is what you do. You take yourself to the Container Store, a place I love to visit on Saturdays and sometimes on Sundays.
Jesus, that sounds chaotic.
Take yourself, no, super mellow in there. Take yourself to the Container Store. Take yourself to the Container Store. They have black hangers that are covered in black felt, and they have the ones with the pant bar and without the pant bar. And you get yourself as many hangers as you have clothes that need to hang, and you keep it uniform and you stick to it. Stuff comes back from the dry cleaner. Guess what you don't keep around?
That shitty metal
the
wire.
The crappy wire hangers.
Get that thing out of there.
Get it together.
I hate those things.
You if you set aside like $100,
you'll be good.
For life.
Let's go. Let me tell you about an aesthetic that I really like right now. This is my vibe.
Paint a picture
my
for me.
My next vibe. It's called tactical.
Yeah.
My shit is fucking tactical.
Your
right
shit
now.
Is tactical. Yeah. Pockets
I'm
everywhere.
Feeling military surplus gear, militaristic. Like, I don't need. Well, one thing that I'm really feeling is the collection, the Alix men's stuff that Matthew Williams has been putting out, and his stuff is extremely tactical,
ultra tactical.
And borderline, you know, there's
it borderline
also,
like, comes with pliers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you might buy a pair of pants, and there could just be a pair of pliers in the pocket.
And then his goes into like some S&M fetishistic sort of stuff that like I don't go all the way that way, but I do like the like hardcore heavy hardware tactical aspect of it. And my more basic version is just like Rothko cargo pants from the Army Navy store.
Yeah.
And things of that nature that
do you use a bunch of those pockets?
Nah.
No. Pure fashion.
I carry my weed in there.
Pure fashion.
No, they're just the pockets are just there, yeah. It is pure fashion. I guess on occasion you could like drop a water bottle in there. When you're like pushing around town.
Oh, when you're doing like a 3 mile soulful walk with your friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm deep. I got one more episode to go on David Simon's The Deuce.
Yeah.
It's on the home box office channel.
Is it?
Are you watching the show now?
Yeah, I've watched a few.
You sound significantly less committed than I am.
I've
been knocking these things down.
Yeah.
I find that the show is like, it's serious, you know. It's like there's a seriousness to it. There's a lot of sex in it, and not all of the sex is intended to be so sexy.
Yeah.
In fact, most of it is not so sexy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what's incredible about it is there's an upbeat sort of there's an upbeat and sort of bright tempo to it that keeps it from being like too grimy, too depressing. It keeps me from feeling like I'm quasi watching porn with my wife.
That's
you
right.
know, even though there's a lot of the, you know, there's like somebody's naked like all the time.
Yeah.
There's pimps saying just horrendous stuff to hookers.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of rotten Johns, crooked cops. But like at this, you don't leave it feeling depressed.
Yeah.
And it's also got a really interesting sort of, I was going to say feminist bent to it. And I have seen some of the like critical takes on it, talk about it being a feminist show. But to me, there's just a modern balance to it.
Yeah.
And like The Wire, I'm not going to lie and say I got through Treme, but like The Wire, it keeps moving around perspective. So you spend time with the pimps, you spend time with the prostitutes, you spend time with James Franco and his crew. The mafia is in the mix. The police department is in the mix. And you're sort of like getting a take on this New York City neighborhood from all these different perspectives. And it really just adds up something to something bigger than the sum of the parts. It's really working for me.
David Simon is like a real master, huh? I think he is.
Well, I thought, you know, The Wire was masterful and Treme maybe like not so much.
I didn't get
a little,
to that either.
Yeah, a little self-serious, and now he's like back in the groove.
I think he's really good at like creating that whole world, like you said, like getting every perspective and then just also like the atmosphere of it and the scenes of it. I love the sets and like the costume and all that.
And the way they shot in New York City but made it look like 1970s. It's working for me.
I'm going to do
vibe number 12. You got one more.
All right.
Don't waste a shot, man.
This one's crazy. It's simple though.
Perfect.
Leaving the house without your phone.
Whoa, man. That's extreme.
And I'm not proposing any type of like like go out for the whole day, go out for the
radical
night.
Unplugging.
Yeah, like don't, you know, you could get lost out there. Like without Google Maps, I would get lost in my own neighborhood.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about just like, hey, I'm going to pop out and get a coffee. I don't need to like pat my pockets three times and make sure my phone's in there. I'm just going to just not have it for that like 45 minutes.
I'm gonna take this less than an hour time period to go have a coffee and see what life brings
and
to
like,
me.
And like while I wait for the barista to pour my coffee, I'm just going to like look around.
Chill out.
Or like say hi to the person next to me. Or
like Aziz at the restaurant in Paris waiting on Mark Anthony
Green.
Yeah,
that's right. We've gone here. Aziz, of course, GQ style cover star. Aziz does this in a very heavy way. I'm proposing a very moderate testing of these waters.
Aziz should do a comedy special called, oh man, this is such a bad joke. Aziz Unplugged.
Thanks, Will.
I'm sorry.
We got one more vibe, but there's something very important that we need to include here, which is that we appreciate all of you corporate lunch listeners out there, all the friends of the pod. Please subscribe on iTunes or Apple or however you do it. Rate us. Write a review, a scathing review, an honest review.
Scathing's cool.
And tell a friend. Tell your dad. Tell your buddy. Tell your boss. Maybe don't tell your girlfriend.
Tell your friend dad.
Tell your dad friend. That's it. On with the final vibe.
To take it out, this is a new song by Porches. Sam actually knows way more about Porches than I do, but my introduction to Porches was this tune, and it will get you in your feelings. That's it. Corporate 1, episode 10. We'll see you next week, right?
Namaste.
No? Namaste.
And it smelled like the truth. I saw you in the lake. I saw you in the lake. I lay flat on the bed. Really cools me off.